Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback to pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh. Give me a break.
You know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
It's Mike Shope.
Quarterback? No! Ken O'Brien of California Davis.
Everybody said if Marino was going to be around at that time, they'd take Marino. Obviously, the Jets know something that, you know, the people up here don't.
And the Bulldog.
Tim Tebow is going to be a Denver Bronco and a first round.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
That Jet fan, what he said and how he said it, is just legendary stuff. I wonder if that, like, if whoever that guy is sort of famous for that clip. Well, people thought they would take Marino if they could get Marino. Obviously, the Jets, can't even do it. Obviously, the Jets know something the people up here don't. Right? Like, how great is it in retrospect, in hindsight, how great is it that a Jet fan, you know, Jet fans, is this even maybe still the thing because the draft moves around now and all the fans are crazy and in Halloween costumes, so I don't know. But, like, in the day, the Jets were the loudest fans at the draft, or the most.
They had the most fans at the draft, usually. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, like, that was a special pick in that crowd. And it's just so good. Yeah.
It's like, so great that he's giving the Jets the benefit of the doubt because,
yes,
like, that's the guy, like, because you hear the reaction there. Like, I don't know, it wasn't all boos, but it certainly was mixed at best, right? And, like, no, the Jets, they know what they're doing. That guy, that's that guy.
But, like, he says it.
How's that 30 years down the road?
Yes, I too, like, you know, they're a bunch of idiots. Like, I wouldn't have any use for that. It's not interesting at all. I too, like, his tone is more just melancholy. Like, obviously, they know something we don't. Right?
Marino went.
It's perfect.
Where did he go in that draft? 28 or something?
Yes.
Like, yeah, right.
27 or 28. Was he the last pick? Oh, man, I don't know. 27, I want to say. Miami lost. No, that wasn't the year. I don't know. It might have been 28. It might have been last.
I don't mean to stick 28 in your head. I mean,
it might have been, no, it might have been last.
I just know it was
one of the
it
other.
Was way down there. Yeah, it was one of those two, I think.
He was 27th, which was second to last.
Darn it.
Who was 28?
Daryl Green.
The Super Bowl was Washington.
What did he ever do?
The Super Bowl was Washington-Miami. Washington beat Miami. So, okay, those were not even trades. Good. Daryl Green, one of the best ever.
Yep. They're retiring his number.
Why didn't that happen already?
Ah, good question, because Washington's inept, and the last time they tried to play tribute to a defensive back, in this case one who, you know, died tragically, they made a mannequin and said this was a statue or something. It was a horrible thing they did with Sean Taylor. Hopefully new ownership's got the things on the right track there, and they're going to do right by Daryl Green.
Hopefully.
Do you remember the rollout of that Sean Taylor tribute? It was like a mall mannequin with a jersey on it. And it wasn't even like the current jersey. It was horrible. Just wasn't. Nothing was right about it.
Daryl Green was so good, the other team should honor him. Maybe that's just a random thing that, like, Dallas could do. Put a Daryl Green statue up. We just have that much respect for him. Patrick is with us. Hello, Patrick.
How's it going?
Good, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
10 picks. I move up, move down. I'm pretty confident Brandon Bean's pretty much smarter than anyone of us is calling in. I just want to know what you're over-under on how many picks the Bills make in the entire draft, and if it's less than 10, doesn't that suggest we're moving up?
I expect them to move up, and even if they don't, I expect them to do stuff on Saturday with the plethora of picks they have and move around. My over-under would be 7.5.
It's a hard question because
number of picks they make in the draft. I would say 7 or 8 is my guess.
I'm not sure their last 5 picks mean much of anything. So
the guys are going to get cut anyway.
Or, you know, you could luck out. You want to make the picks because, I mean, the Bills themselves have players who were picked late like that. But they're not going to get you, like, move up substantially in, like, round 1 or 2.
No. So, I'm thinking, like, that if there's somebody they like on Saturday in round 5 that they'll use a couple of 6s to move up and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, no, they're not going to package up 7s and 6s to move today or even tomorrow.
That's what I mean. Like, but it's hard to know which way that could go. They probably – it's a good question is, and maybe I should know the answer, although they wouldn't want to sort of have it be a rule. They should have a they might have a number where they would be like, no more than this number because of evaluation and, you know, the roster, other plans that they have. Also, I think this is interesting. I've seen this from some analytics studies, how you have a better chance making money, like having a career, not being drafted, signing after the draft as an undrafted free agent than being picked in the last two rounds. Because, you know, you're going to maybe get a sort of a different expectations, perhaps. I don't know, like somehow it works out that those guys have, like the Jason Peters of the world, have better success rates than guys picked.
I had not heard that. It doesn't surprise me. I feel as this whole thing has evolved over the years, I feel like teams are less and less beholden to, I drafted you, therefore. Like, I think the guys the Bills pick on Saturday, especially, you know, the sixth and the seventh round guys, they're going to sign, you know, whatever, 15 street free agents, like most years they do. And so they'll do that. And I think, and every team in the league does that to varying degrees. Like, it's not all the same number, but, you know, the teams will have 10 or so of these guys in their camp. And I think it's more than ever possible for teams to let it take its course. High picks is a different story, but you get to picks that are late on Saturday, and you got a guy that came in that you signed as a street free agent, and he outplays that guy in camp. Well, that's it. It's easy. And I don't know that it was always like that. I think teams might have felt more protective of their guys. We put ourselves out there. We said this guy warranted being picked, you know, 186 overall or whatever the hell the number is. And I don't want to look stupid for waiving him. So, for, you know, in favor of a guy that, you know, anybody could have signed. So I don't want to look dumb. So I'm going to keep. I think that's gone. That's old thinking, I think. I think teams are more open than ever to keeping those street free agents. So it wouldn't surprise me if that is becoming the case.
Patrick, what are you hoping for tonight?
you know, my heart would love to see us, you know, get up there and get Odunze, but, you know, I'm more practical and I'm fine. I'm sticking right at 28.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick. I mean, that's a lot of people. I think that might be the majority take here as we get within 2 hours of this thing is it'd be fun. It's exciting. The trade up.
Yep.
But it's maybe not smart.
Well, it's definitely not smart.
It's definitely not smart.
But I'm here for it. I'm yeah. I like a lot of dumb things. So, you know,
Love is blind.
I have no sure.
Love is blind.
I've never seen. I love it.
I tried to watch it today. I've been watching it. I'm late in season two, and at night, even last night I was excited. My wife is away. The kids went to bed. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I watched two episodes of Love is Blind. And then this morning, I'm just like, all this draft stuff is consuming me. Hey, it's like the season finale. I put it on in 10 minutes. I'm like, I cannot watch this show during the day. It's too stupid. I cannot watch it. I need a beverage. I need to sort of be like 10% asleep, maybe. And I'm going to laugh at stuff. But it's just too stupid in the morning. I have to analyze that theory.
No, this is like me with like the threshold to watch a show on while I'm exercising on the bicycle versus watching it in the living room. That's a very different world to me. Like you got to meet a certain threshold of quality for me to turn you on the big TV in the living room on a Wednesday night. Wednesday morning on the bike,
anything
garbage fest, whatever. I don't even care. It's fine. Just get me through 2 hours on the bike. That's all I'm looking for.
Yes, Sigmund Bloom had a quote tweet about this comparison, sixth and seventh round players versus UDFAs, but I haven't fully comprehended it. So just it's out there. Maybe it's worth some discussion. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
I think you got to do whatever you can to trade up and get like a Dunze or if the worst Brian Thomas. Because if you give up next year's first-round draft pick, it's not much more than a high second, really. And I don't think you're giving up that much to get that stud receiver that can really put us over the edge.
Well, the difference in the two ideas that you had here, the two players, Odunze costs you a 1 and a 2 and a 1 and a 4, probably. Like, if you're targeting 9. And that might even be modest, but like that's has been enough to get it done before. That doesn't mean it'll be enough to get it done tonight if they want to do it.
And I think he's gone by 6 anyway.
Okay. So maybe Neighbors is there and you can maybe do the same thing.
Okay.
Either way, the Thomas trade, if you're talking about getting to 18, 19, somewhere in that range, you know, that doesn't cost you nearly as much stuff.
Be happy with Thomas. He looks like a stud receiver too. I mean, he just looks the part.
Yep. Okay.
He's big and fast, and he catches the ball. So yeah, I agree. He looks the part.
Questions about, well, you know, a game breaker type. I mean, this is a guy, athletic freak, big, and ran 4.3. So no question. Nobody's doubting his physical skills, but his game isn't supposedly so well rounded. And you know what exactly do you want? If you want somebody that can maybe resemble Diggs, it's not Brian Thomas. Like, Diggs was a witch. Intermediate, like, he could separate. He was like a perfect route runner, the kind of value you had in him. This is way different than that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to want somebody to emulate Diggs. Like, maybe you don't. That'd be weird, but maybe you want someone else. You're talking about speed all the time. I think that's right. You know, the Bills have not had that so much for as good as they've been, or either size on this guy is both of those things.
That's why I have come around to Xavier Worthy as a better idea than Thomas. Like, recognizing that, you know, who knows? You may have to trade up for either one of them if you really want to get him. You want to keep Xavier Worthy away from the Dolphins there at 21. Like, I don't know. I think they need to draft defensive line, so we'll see what ends up happening. But Worthy to me, I do see, it's not Diggs level, but I see a fully formed route runner. I see a guy that is creating separation, you know, off of man coverage, in what I'm watching. And I think it's a more well-rounded player. I think the downside is he's, you know, what, 3 inches shorter and, or 2 inches shorter than Thomas and, like, I don't know, 30 pounds lighter. That's a lot. I mean, it's the NFL. There's big dudes out there. So, you know, Worthy. But I think there's enough recent evidence, little guys that you were concerned about playing receiver in the league and doing it successfully. You mentioned Devontae Smith and Tank Dell, or our guest did in the 4 o'clock hour. Those are recent examples of guys that, you know, you could, you know, now Smith did not fall in the draft. He was picked pretty high, but Dell didn't go until day two. I think Xavier Worthy is worth it to me. Like, I the speed, and I think there's more there. He's a more fully formed player. That doesn't mean that Thomas couldn't turn into a better player eventually, but man, I gotta hold a plug right now. And I'm not dying to, like, spend time ramping the guy up, especially if I'm gonna trade up. Like, if I'm just gonna sit there, I'm gonna have to live with some growing pains while the guy learns it. But if I'm giving up something to go get a guy, even if it's modest, I'm gonna have an expectation that he's gonna hit the ground at least, I don't know, trotting, if not running.
Thank you, Mark. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We invite you to be next. Call your shot for tonight. We'll go until 7. Then the guys will take it from there, and we'll have coverage all night. Have you seen a picture of the crowds in Detroit?
I think Detroit is having a great day. Like, massive, 150,000 people downtown. And if you're watching ESPN, like, you know, maybe some of our audience is doing what we're doing. They've got it on, hopefully without the sound on, because they're paying attention to us. The shots coming out of commercials, even the river, the waterfront, like blue skies, no clouds. Detroit's having a great day. It's like a Chamber of Commerce day for Detroit.
It's so many people, though. It would be funny if people had the ESPN on and then us on, but the sound was down on the radio.
That would be odd.
You wouldn't do that.
No, usually not. No.
This just looks like an incredible mass of people
Yeah.
that I myself do not find appealing. I'm not regretting not being there. Right. Let's just put it like that. Right. Just to be in a parking lot with 100,000 people, I mean, I don't know what you would. I'd have to be watching to make me want to do it.
A Super Bowl parade or a Stanley Cup parade. Like, I'll brave crowds I'll like that what. For that, but for this, I don't think I would really be in
there. I want to go to those parades, but I don't want to stand in it. Like, I'll be on a rooftop if I can get it.
Right.
I don't want to be in the mess. I don't want to be bumping around with people. It's, you know, I don't want to be at Woodstock. I just, yeah. No thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks. I did, a couple of different times, really think hard about going tonight. I've never been to a draft. I have lots of friends through fantasy football who were there, Airbnb and different things. I don't know where they're hanging out exactly right now. Like, are they just in this? Or do they have a suite or something? Can you get that? What can you get?
I don't know. I would think hotel rooms in that general area are probably insanely expensive.
No, that's true. But would they be in the room, or would they be right. at the venue somehow? Yeah. You'd want to, like, is there probably, yes, you can buy a suite.
Sure, that's
at the venue.
Probably, yeah,
they would have that.
Sure, yeah, you. Corporate partners, I mean, I've never been to one of these either, but if they're hosting the draft, there's the cattle call for the regular Joes in their jerseys and their face paint and all that, and then there's, the car company and the beer company and the advertisers and all that stuff, the corporate partners, they're not in that. They are not in that. 150,000 people. They're in it, but they ain't touching anybody. Nobody can touch them. Like, they're hanging out, you know, enjoying $40 cocktails somewhere.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So here we're getting closer here, and I don't want to get too distracted by the crowds and the suites and everything. The most, by far, commonly debated idea here continues to be the big move up. And the Bills have the media thinking they're capable of it. They have the fans thinking they're capable of it. It's not known whether they can do it, but it's kind of expected that they would. And so best to analyze what their options are, what the chances are, who the teams are, who the players are. So I said two callers ago, just from following today's rumors, that I think Odunze goes by 6 to the Giants. A lot of people seem to expect some jockeying between picks 3 and 6, or even a few picks lower than that. And so which team gets which guy? I think there's been a lot of conflicting, maybe this is just the game being played, but conflicting speculation about which quarterbacks it is each of these teams wants. The Vikings, the Giants, the Patriots, with two quarterbacks really in the mix there for three teams. And maybe the Vikings get left out, or maybe the Patriots bail, or maybe the Giants decide based on what happens before. Like, they'll just pick Odunze, or they'll pick McCarthy, say. So more and more people that I read are saying it will be 4 quarterbacks in the top 5 picks and Harrison. And if that leaves the Giants at 6, that is thought to be Odunze. Or Neighbors. That would be their choice almost definitely between those two players.
Yep.
Then you have...
And then you're taking one last run at it with Daniel Jones, I suppose, if you're the Giants.
You know, right? Maybe they pick another quarterback later, Rattler or somebody like that. And then 7, 8, 9, Tennessee, Atlanta, Chicago. Offensive line is the speculation for Tennessee.
Atlanta could maybe grab an trade edge guy or something, like, right? Or even the Texas D tackle, not the big guy, but Murphy. He's got top 10 potential, I think.
Yep, there's been some recent steam on his being the first defensive player picked last few days. So you have him. But also trade down candidates. The Falcons, I think, the Chargers are obvious. I think the Falcons are almost as obvious that they should do it. If they get an offer for somebody, one of these awesome players that teams like the Bills maybe feel like they have to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think L.A. starting over with Harbaugh
and Justin Herbert, this is the dream where you can accumulate two firsts, you know, maybe seconds and thirds next year too, and go from there. Like, that's what I definitely would want to do if I were they.
I wonder, this is not like pertaining directly to what the Chargers are going to do here. I wonder how Justin Herbert is feeling in all this. You know, like, might he suspect that his new head coach, who's like as big a star as him, if not bigger, within football, would love to have his Michigan quarterback just hand the ball off 35 times a game. And like, I'm Justin Herbert. I've got like immovable dead money, at least this late in the offseason. But like, does my guy really like me, or am I just hanging out here until he can get rid of me? You know, move me to somewhere else because, you know, he doesn't want a guy that wants to throw it 50 times a game and has a rocket for an arm. He likes J.J. McCarthy, who's not half the athlete that Justin Herbert is.
Well, that would be the most incredible thing maybe ever to happen in a draft if they traded him.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to trade him, but I just wonder, like, what's going through that guy's head right now? You know, like, I know what public, you know, oh, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, yeah, we're going to go win, but if I'm Justin Herbert, I am looking over my shoulder every minute, the minute that guy gets in the building. So I just think, like, he just wants to get rid of me.
I'm trying to think of what that would cost to trade for Justin Herbert.
Oh, my God.
Aaron is next. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling and listening.
No problem. So I see that there's reports coming out that San Francisco is trying to move into the top 10 by using either Ayuk or Samuel as pieces. Assuming no team in the top 10 bites on that, how would you feel about the Bills making a move for him, and what do you think it would cost to do that?
Well, I think it would be very exciting. They're both great. I think Ayuk is great. Deebo Samuel has already been proven to be great. He's older, and he's got his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the question of like what you would want to pay Ayuk, how that compares. I think either idea is worth thinking hard about if you could do it. What would the Niners need? I feel like 28 for Ayuk is probably too low, but Bulldog has said not if they're up against the wall thinking about his contract. It's still a first-round pick. They could basically be drafting who they see as his replacement. I'm not sure that's good math, but if I were, you know, the Niners, I would want to do better than 28 for Ayuk, at least, if not also Deebo. But Deebo, earlier we were talking about, could an A.J. Brown trade happen tonight where it's somebody you're not thinking of and he gets moved for a first? Yeah. That could be Deebo Samuel. Like that, the Niners probably are better off trading him than Ayuk.
100%. I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the league. I think at his age, with the contract already, That is not a first round. Deebo now. Ayuk's a different thing. And I don't know, because he needs the contract, how that affects, you know, I'm buying him from you, but I'm also taking you out of a financial bind here. So I don't feel like that like I said this yesterday, Diggs already had a contract when the Bills gave up the first to get him, and they didn't tear it up. He played under that contract for that first year here, and then they got to work on it. So I don't know. Either guy to me, I appreciate how good they are, but the market tells you in the past, neither guy should get a first-round pick, I don't think. Especially Samuel, at his age with a contract already, if you're trying to get yourself out of a bind. I'm doing you a favor now, right? I'm getting a good player, a great player, but you are stuck. You're going to make a choice. You're going to divest yourself of Deebo so you can sign Brandon Ayuk. Sensible, younger player. Different, but in certain ways better. Okay, you gotta pay me, and the payment is you don't get as good an asset back from me because I'm helping you out of a bind. So I don't think I should have to pay premium for either one of those guys, honestly. But maybe it'll come to pass that somebody will, or even the Bills will. I don't know, but I feel like that's more like Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper type trades as opposed to. Or even Diggs, who went for a second. Like, that's, you know, comparable. He's 30, and he had a contract, and I was kind of impressed that they got a second.
We've got to get to a break. It's getting close, and maybe this is sort of normal. But I am starting to smell that big trade. I'm starting to sense it. I feel like it's there. You know, it's a question of whether you would. But I think it's there, which is somewhat of a development. Could there be, you know, an opening for the Bills to get all the way up into the top 10? I feel like that answer is known to be yes at this point with the reporting during the day. Too many teams seem to be excited to tell their stealth media partners that they want to move down. So, get ready. It's a long way up, but I wouldn't rule it out. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
The most important thing that fans never seem to understand about the draft, literally no one knows how any of these players is going to play in the NFL.
That's me, by the way, every day of my life talking. Daniel Jeremiah, did you say?
Dan Graziano.
Dan Graziano, I'm sorry.
That is a huge upset that I remembered something Zach said that long after he said it, which was about 30 seconds.
I apologize to Zach. I am trying to understand this chart that I just saw, and I don't have time anymore.
You're locking in. That's okay. You're locking in.
I guess. This trade
chart.
Well,
I guess it's good that I haven't found it yet. Because it'll be both of us distracted trying to figure out. So if you can't figure it out, I don't like my chances. I don't mean
less than an hour and a half.
Let's go. Let's go, baby.
I mean, do you agree with me from when last we spoke 5 minutes ago or whatever that...
I don't know. What did you say? I don't remember.
The big trade is there if the Bills want to make it.
I wouldn't want to say it that certainly, because I don't think any of that stuff can really lock in until, you know, the teams see what's happening. Like, I'm thinking of Bradley Chubb and the Broncos from back in 18. Like, the Bills thought they had it, and then they had to scramble. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that it might make sense for them to move. And so if we're going to have a very busy first round of trade action and trade up action in the front half of the first round, I would expect the Bills to be one of the teams very active in trying to get that done. I think if it's there,
it's there.
They're
if
not
they
gonna
do
they're
it.
Not gonna balk at paying the price. I don't think. I think that they would have an idea what the price is gonna be at this point.
Well,
and like go do it.
If you and I are both right, it will happen. Because I am saying it's available to them.
Okay.
Pick 5, pick 8, pick 9 are definitely available. Pick 7 might be available. So any of that'll do, depending on, you know, how the prices vary. Any of that'll do. 9 will do.
Right.
And so if I'm right that about that, and if you're saying you think the Bills would make this level of a move, trading next year's number one pick, trading one or two other premium assets, then if we're both right, this will happen in 2 hours.
The only hitch to it is... To me, do they view, like, for a lot of us, you're like, well, I mean, Neighbors,
right.
Some people think he's better than Harrison Jr. Is there something about him that they don't like? Some concern. So, it could be anything. Personality, right? Fit, whatever. So, like, if Odunze is their idea and they love that, and you've been saying here, like, he doesn't get past the Giants maybe in one scenario. I know we're saying a lot of things, so I'm not trying to hold you to one thing here, but... If it matters to them which guy it is, that could wreck it. You know, like if they feel like I'm happy to pay that price for Odunze because he checks every box we have, right? And I'm just supposing here. I don't know. The opposite could be true for all I know. They could have a reason to not like him and like Neighbors better. I don't know. But there's a chance to me that they don't view those two guys as the same prospect.
That's right.
So if one or the other, it's got to be the right guy. That's all I'm saying. Like, the right guy's got to get to 7 or 8 or 9. And then if it happens, then yeah, then go. I would not be stunned at all if they went and did it. I mean, I've thought from the minute Diggs got traded, the likelihood of them doing something that big got very real to me. And that is not just hyperbole. Like, I mean, I really thought that. I mean, I wrote it right like the morning the Diggs trade happened. I'm like, here we go. Wide receiver train has no brakes and it might be on fire rolling downhill. Like, get out of the way. So they, if it's there, if it's the right guy, I could see them giving up as much as a 1 and a 2 and a 1 and a 4, say, to go get the Bears pick at 9.
Well, that would be incredible.
Yep, and I'm here for it. I know it's not the smartest thing you'll ever do, but I love either one of those guys, Neighbors or Odunze. I guess I favor Odunze mostly because I watched him more. Just the way it's not like I avoided LSU. I mean, they're a big famous team and they're on all the time. But I just this year for some reason I saw Washington a lot. And every time I watched them, I was like, man, who is this guy? How do you say his name? I better learn because I like him. And then I kind of stopped worrying about it because it became pretty apparent, like, he's going to be, well, up where he's going to get picked. And, you know, I stopped thinking, I wasn't thinking about a Diggs trade or a big trade where I give up 3-4 assets to go draft a receiver. But now that it's back on, like, Rome Odunze all day.
Maybe don't be late for resurgence. You know, don't be late.
I wouldn't want to be late to something like that anyway. I think my ticket gets me beer, so I need to get in and get
beer
full.
And food.
Right.
You don't. It's not like you're going to a shower where you might feel like you want to come a little bit late to that.
No, I want to be. I want to
or
be
just
on
a
time
friend's house
pregame. Have a couple before the thing starts. Yeah.
You don't want to be there before the start time.
I don't have a ticket to this, but like. The idea of them doing this, the big trade up, and being out at a place like that for it.
Oh,
my like
goodness.
You talked about being there for Watkins, like being not at the stadium, but like out somewhere, right, at a bar.
I was at McGregor's.
I was not at all thinking. Well, I shouldn't say at all. I've thought numerous times, like, I should go support Joe and Jer. I like the place. I'm going to be at home watching this thing anyway, and my wife is working. Listen to me. At 6:40 here on Thursday night draft night, I'm talking myself into going out.
This happens.
Don't hold me to it. I don't know. I mean, I get in the truck, everything changes. Just go home. Home's good, too. I like home. I got a nice TV. I have beer if I want it. Anyway, go to their thing is really the message here. It should be a fun spot to be no matter what. I mean, you could be there for 4 hours waiting for the Bills to make a selection, or you could get your mind blown and your night is over by 9 o'clock.
If they make this trade, there's no specific rumor, but we're talking about how one of the themes of the day in reporting about the draft is the growing speculation that a few teams in the top 10 want to trade down. Seems like it has more juice to it than just like the Bears tweet from earlier that one team is open for business per sources. Who needs sources? Why wouldn't one team, right? But they wouldn't all necessarily be like that. And they wouldn't all be calling their media friends to have them tweet about what they're hoping for. But I've got the Chargers. I've got the Titans, reportedly. I've got the Falcons. I've got the Bears. And maybe that's not it. That sound like they're hoping somebody makes them the offer from the value chart. And the Bills are a team with the reputation and the crying need in a year where you have up to 3 wide receivers that rate on that level. What is the problem? I mean, that would add up to, don't rule it out. If you're at that party and they make that move, you're staying until the end anyway, because you're drunk on it.
Oh,
you're drunk on the trade if that happens.
Right.
And you're at a party that was specifically called to celebrate the Bills drafting a wide receiver.
I mean, they could trade up to 9 and draft Joe Alt. That would be a stunner.
That's a party wrecker right there. It's like, you don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here. Is what that is. Like, the lights are going out.
Holy cow! Imagine that.
It's incredible. I hate that you just said that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm searching for, you're mentioning all these teams. There was a tweet, and now it's buried because, I mean, it's draft day. So, I mean, tweets are just piling in here by the second. But someone, maybe Jeremy Fowler, like, characterized the level to which every team is open to moving down.
Yeah.
And I think the Chargers, he said, 7-11 open.
Like, of course.
They are just like, please come here and have some taquitos off the roller. And by the way, pick up a football player while you're here.
Of course. My guy, Jeff Bell, I mentioned him this week from Football Guys, Bills fan. He mocked the West Virginia center, Zach Frazier, to them in round 2 after a trade. He's updated his to have Odunze at 8, to the Bills at 8.
Okay.
And he also just wrote, ready for a good old-fashioned NBA hat swap where the Patriots take May, then trade him for McCarthy on the Giants or the Vikings. There's been a lot of that today. Really, there's been a lot of that all along here. That there is this sort of, maybe there's a better word for it, confusion or just sort of some cognitive dissonance with the teams, with the Patriots, the Giants, and the Vikings, and who wants whom, and how can they all be happy? Which they probably can't if there are 2 quarterbacks and 3 teams. But just what New England, could there be a thing? Remember Chris Webber and Hardaway? Where, what, one team drafted Weber and then traded him to the other?
This happened in the NFL with Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers.
That was preordained?
Oh, I don't know about preordained. Yeah, I think so, right?
Maybe.
It was well known that Manning was not going to go to the Chargers, but they picked him anyway, and then they swapped him out for Phillip Rivers. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, because you had the awkward moment where Eli's holding the jersey and he wants to throw up.
So, preordained, whatever. I mean, I think it was.
I think it was, too, but I'm trying to remember. Okay, we might have early action. Just saying might, kind of how it adds up. If the Bills want to do it, and to me, they probably still shouldn't, but it's a team that a lot of people think this is what they would do. Could be an amazing night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, final thoughts from us on round 1 after this here on WGR. Round 1 of the NFL draft in just over an hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for some final thoughts before it all happens. Been talking for about the last little while here about a possible major trade up in the first round based on the increasing speculation that numerous teams in the between 6 and 10 at least, or 5 and 10, would love to move out. And, you know, the Bills have a reputation, and so many people think they would be open to a trade like that. Here, I think, is a key to, well, one is what Bulldog has said. How many of those 3 guys would they do it for? Maybe it's all 3. Harrison, Odunze, Neighbors. Maybe it's all 3. If it's 2, then we have to see what happens.
The right guy's got to be there, yeah, right.
Yes, or even 1. The Giants are so interesting here because everybody seems to think, don't get to J.J. McCarthy or even Drake May. If they don't get their quarterback because Minnesota makes a better move up and beats them to the guy, then they're taking one of the 3 receivers, people think. And Harrison goes to Arizona in most scenarios. So now you're down to 1 left. And maybe an Indianapolis can make a better offer than you can.
And and the Bears wouldn't have to go down as far to make that happen, and that could definitely be appealing to Indianapolis.
Right. So the Giants could be very important. I think you want Minnesota to be the team that loses, because Minnesota wouldn't draft Odunze. Minnesota is here for Drake May, or they'll go defense. Like, they got Justin Jefferson, Addison last year, Hockenson. They're not drafting any of these receivers. If they're making that move, it's for May or McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're successful, the Giants take the receiver, and then you might be in trouble. If they're not, the Giants take the quarterback. Minnesota's not in the conversation anymore. They're not trading up anymore. And then if it makes it to six, you know, that's what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have potentially two trade partners or two players, Tennessee, Atlanta, Chicago could all be potential trade partners. And then it could get very interesting. I would just be glued to this.
Oh, yeah.
To see what happens with the Giants.
I am like this every year. We get done. I go home and I think, there's hockey on for an hour, right? The playoffs are going on. I'll just hang out, watch some hockey. And then, I'll probably do this again tonight. 2 minutes into the hockey, I'm like, I see something on Twitter. Like, I got to watch the draft. I need to watch them talking here because something might happen. Like, it just sucks me right in. And, everything else doesn't exist.
Totally. The one thing about tonight that's not perfect is to watch it and to be online. Sometimes you find out the picks before. Well,
especially if you're streaming. If this is your first draft streaming, that's tough.
Yes, I have not been home for a draft in many years. Yeah. So it'll be tough to be online and watch it and enjoy it. It'll be alone. It's kind of an anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know, me and Margo watching to see if the Bills are going to make this trade. Because I don't think she's going to care too much.
I'll FaceTime you because I'll be doing the same thing with Fred probably. Although I might have Owen by my side, but wife's work and Leo could not possibly care less.
So we might have that. If we don't, we don't. But just seems like basically how we're doing, adding it all up here, that it could happen. I'm giving it more credibility than at any other time this whole period of 3 months. Because to me, they've always been out of range. Somebody else, it could still happen this way. Somebody else can do better, make a better offer than you can from being so late. But I don't know if that's going to be right. So watch out. Have a great time with it. We'll be here tomorrow at 3. The guys are coming in next to continue our local coverage. Jeremy and Joe are out at Resurgence for that party. Appreciate everybody being a part of our coverage here since, I don't know, since Tyler Bass missed that kick.
Pretty much.
On the draft.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Enjoy the night. Talk to you tomorrow. This is WGR.